I wanted to yield to my vice president, who's smarter than I am.
Well, there's not much to add to that, Mr. Parker.
Probably just sorry.
Ah, yes, they get cleverer and cleverer, don't they? Oh, that Kamala, she's really something, isn't she? See, you know, she's been getting, she's actually been getting a little bit of bad press lately. I don't know if you saw this, but the news organizations are debating, you know, when a vice president travels on business as vice president, let's say if someday she were ever go to the border or to Central America, which she's allegedly in charge of, but since she's a Democrat, she doesn't have to do anything, and the media praises her for doing nothing. Go to the border? Why would you do that? Go to Central America? Go to Mexico? Why would you do that? Why would anything like that be done? She doesn't have to do anything. And Joe Biden can screw everything up, and they praise him. They're still praising Jimmy Carter and condemning Ronald Reagan. You know, that's our media. But the news organizations apparently now are debating, because reporters go and they fly on Air Force Two. It's a 757, and reporters come along. I've flown on those airplanes many times. And they're saying, well, she makes no news. She never says anything. She doesn't talk to reporters. And we're thinking about not going along and on those trips anymore and covering her. And it turns out that Kamala Harris also is keeping a list. She keeps a list like a Stalinist. And it's a list of reporters that she says are not, what are they not? They're not cooperative enough. They don't admire her enough. What is the thing there? It's kind of amazing. Kind of an amazing thing that she doesn't have to do anything. She's kind of an empty pantsuit. She really is not getting anything done. But when you're a Democrat, they praise her anyway. Manny, I apologize, Manny, for I thought I had an extra minute or more for you on that last call. We miscalculated, and I apologize for giving you short shrift there with your story. 2014, going down in front of the White House with a Palestinian flag and an Israeli flag and being violently attacked for having the Israeli flag. I actually went on Al Gore's Amazing Internet and went to take a look for the video. Unfortunately, Manny, there are so many videos of Democrats burning Israeli flags that I'm on page 5 already. And here's the Democrats burning the Israeli flag at the Democratic National Convention in 2016, where Hillary was made the nominee and she lost. That was hilarious. And you remember inside they had a Palestinian flag, a big, you know, 6-foot Palestinian flag inside the hall, and no American flags. They had a 6-foot Mexican flag, 6-foot Palestinian flag, and that was fine. There were no American flags inside until it was pointed out. Then they went down to City Hall in Philadelphia and stole the bunting off the building and brought it over to the convention because no Democrats had thought to bring any American flags. They brought Palestinian flags and Mexican flags. They're not on our side. Outside, they were burning Israeli flags and American flags, you may recall. I think that's where that guy set himself on fire. That was a hilarious moment. The guy setting the American flag on fire and then jumping on it, and he set his pants on fire. Remember this? And the police officer yelling, "You're on fire, stupid!" You're on fire, because he was burning the American flag. And they burn the Israeli flag, but they proudly carry the Palestinian flag and of course, the Mexican flag, because what's the thing here again? Oh, yeah, they're not on our side. That's the problem. They're really not. Another story today from the New York Post, because they cover the news. Jill Biden says Harris, that's Kamala Harris, should... I can't say this on the radio, can I, Victor? I can't. Should go. I'll try to clean it up. Jill Biden says Kamala Harris should go bleep herself, go F herself, for a debate attack on Joe Biden. Well, I'm sorry, what's this? Jill Biden, isn't that Dr. Jill Biden? She's busy today performing surgery, I think. She can't be reached. Jill Biden said Kamala Harris should go bleep herself after famously questioning her husband's record on race during a Democratic primary debate, according to a new report. The future First Lady fumed to supporters after Kamala Harris, who is now vice president for all the wrong reasons, of the United States, slammed his record opposing federally mandated interracial busing. Remember, that's when he said he didn't want his kids going to school in a racial jungle, sending his kids to a racial jungle. That's a Joe Biden quote. Busing to desegregate schools. "That little girl was me," Harris told Joe Biden in one of the most cutting moments of the Democratic primary. Jill Biden vented 1 week later on a group phone call with supporters, according to account published by Politico. And Politico's a left-wing rag, so the Democrats have to believe it because it's a left-wing rag. Those are the rules. They don't have to believe the New York Post, you know, with all the true stories about Hunter Biden and China and Russia and Joe Biden being big guy who gets a 10% cut of the Chinese communist stuff and all that stuff. So with what he cares about, with what he fights for, what he's committed to get up there and call him racist without basis, go beep yourself, Jill Biden allegedly said, according to Politico. Joe Biden was also furious about the attack. While still on stage during the debate, Joe Biden allegedly turned to fellow candidate Pete Buttigieg and said of the Harris attack, that was, I can't quote this either, that was effing BS. I have to clean that up both ways. Joe Biden on stage, and none of the media who hosted that debate. It was obviously not Fox News, or we would have heard something about this long ago. But if it's NBC or CNN or ABC or CBS or, you know, Al Jazeera, then he gets a pass because they're on his side. So, you know, he turned to Buttigieg and said that was bleeping bleep stuff. And that's never reported. And then Jill Biden says that the current vice president should go blank herself. And it takes how many months now? Better, you know, more than a half a year, certainly, from since the debate. So Michael LaRosa, a spokesman for Jill Biden, she's got a spokesperson for Jill Biden, said many books will be written on the 2020 campaign with countless retellings of events. This is a non-denial. Some accurate, some inaccurate. The First Lady and her team do not plan to comment on any of them. That is what they used to call a non-denial denial. It's not even a denial, really. It's not even a non-denial denial. It's, yeah, well, that sounds right, is kind of what they're saying. But we're not going to comment on it. So there it is. And the left-wingers at Politico came up with the story. Cookie for them today. Cookie for them. The inside story of the Biden-Harris debate blow-up. President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris have appeared so in lockstep, so in goose step, that it's hard to remember how tense their early campaign days were. It's a fluff job in the Politico magazine by Edward Isaac Dovier, who's a longtime Democrat and a writer for The Atlantic. He fluffs Democrats for a living. But at least they revealed that little tidbit. Now, you know, nobody needs to buy your book because that's all that's in it. There it is. All right, so let's get to so many things. How many things do we have to get to, for crying out loud? Lots and lots of things. Let's go to the phones before we get back to some audio. Let's go to Rob calling from Winchester, Virginia. Rob, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris. How are you today?
I'm great, Rob. What do you say?
Well, the story about the Palestinians attacking the persons at their lunch there, I don't think it's a non-story at all, obviously. Do you think that an editor anywhere was scrolling through the story and said, hey, wait, what's going on here? And then they went down there and they didn't find any of the talking points like, wait, was there any white people there? Because you know for a fact that if it was straight white males that did that, it would have been headline news all over the world.
Yeah.
That's just my point. What do you think?
No, you're 100% right, of course. If they had been wearing MAGA hats and attacked anybody, name a group, you know, Jewish people minding their own business at outdoor dinner tables in Los Angeles, black people, God forbid, Hispanic people, Asian people, because, you know, they've got this trend with Asian hate crimes. Have you noticed, let me ask you, have you noticed this, Rob? They've stopped covering the Asian hate crime thing because every time you have a video doing it, It's let's face it, it's a black guy attacking Asian people in San Francisco and Oakland and New York, in Washington, D.C. We've seen it again and again and again, store videos, street camera videos, and we've seen it again and again and again. And the news media look at the videos and they say, well, we're not covering that one. You know, that's not right. What they're waiting for. They're waiting for a guy with a MAGA hat.
Anymore.
I'm sorry?
I said it's not fitting their narrative anymore.
Yeah, so they've stopped talking about the Asian hate crime thing. I have no reason to believe that the number of Asian hate crimes has decreased recently, but the news media coverage of the anti-Asian hate crimes has gone away. It's evaporated. It's vanished because they've got certain criteria. White guy, Trump sticker on his pickup truck, MAGA hat. Then they've got a story. Otherwise, no story. If it's and it's not, you know, like, I'm not the racist here. The news media are the racists here. It's about the soft bigotry of low expectations. And really, it's about horrible journalism, about being fundamentally corrupt and calling yourself a journalist. You don't cover these stories, but you do cover those stories. You know, the January 6th riot is the only riot that's happened in the last year and a half. Never mind the more than 2,000 police officers injured in left-wing riots from Seattle and Portland to Minneapolis to Kenosha to the Chicago, New York, Washington, D.C. Never mind, you know, all the cities boarded up for months. We still have storefronts downtown Washington boarded up because they were afraid that Trump was going to win easily on election day and the left was going to burn the city and loot businesses. And that was never a story. But the, you know, the entirety of the FBI, the Congress yesterday is calling for a commission to look into. There will be committee hearings, maybe a special counsel to look at the January 6th riot, to the exclusion of all of the other riots, including the three-day siege of the White House, where the president and the first family were evacuated to the bunker. And none of that is news. You know, I've said for years, Rob, that the most insidious power the news media has is the power to ignore.
Right.
And they do a lot of it.
You know, whatever your narrative is going to be, if you're, you know, anti-squirrel kicking, you're going to find videos pop up everywhere. You're going to find what you're looking for. And they just put it out there, and then everybody just shows what they've got. It's kind of frustrating.
Very frustrating. Very frustrating. If you're a thinking person who believes that we should treat people fairly and that we should be honest, and if you believe that the news industry, which is what it is, the fourth estate, the ultimate check in our brilliant system of checks and balances, is corrupt as hell, just corrupt as the day is long, and you can't get a fair shake. They're racist, they're classist, but most importantly, they are Democrat-owned and operated. And I was reading from the Washington Post the other day, an op-ed in the Washington Post, which laid it out, that conservatives can't cancel anything because they don't, and it was a left-winger writing it, saying and it was an anti-conservative, anti-Republican piece, that conservatives can't cancel anything in the cancel culture world, and I've got that coming up, too. Because we don't control the newspapers or television news or pop culture and late night TV and Saturday Night Live. We don't control academia. We don't control publishing. The left has information dominance. And when it was liberals, that was one thing. But now that it's the left, it's another thing altogether. It honestly is. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. The most corrupt institution in the United States of America is the American news media. And if you're going to, you know, take over and corrupt the culture in the country, that is a key node for taking over. Rob, thank you for the call. You're 100% correct, of course.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what feels really great? Paying off your high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate, and saving a whole lot of money. That's a good day. That's a good phone call. You should refinance your credit card balances. Look at them all, from the Visa, department stores, the gas stations, the whole family. Put them all together. Look at what you're paying, just in the interest thing. Refinance your credit card balances and save a ton of cash with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans that start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and your excellent credit. That's a whole lot lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is more than 18% APR. Come on, what decade is it? There are no fees for you. You can even get your money as soon as the day that you apply. LightStream believes that people like you with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what LightStream delivers. Now, just for my listeners, you know who those are. Apply right now. Get a special interest rate discount and save even more money. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/plant. LIGHTSTREAM.com/PLANTE. Subject to your good credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.5% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires your excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/plant for all the information you need. There it is. Listen, we're going to take a quick one here. I've got a lot of stories and a lot of audio yet to get to. And we continue to be at 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I was talking yesterday about how Joe Biden's energy secretary, former governor, who is a Canadian, Jennifer Granholm, secretary of the entire Department of Energy, she has millions of dollars, more than $5 million apparently, invested with companies that make the batteries that would be used in electric cars, and she is in the position to make decisions on the distribution of more than $100 billion to companies that would make batteries for cars. So she's in a position to make a great deal of money. Another deputy secretary up right now also is very heavily invested in and was working for a windmill manufacturer, is now over at the Department of Interior in a position to make decisions on the distribution of money for windmills. Doesn't seem to be a matter of much concern for the American news media. Now we have another one. Senator Ben Sasse presses ODNI nominee over his work for Huawei, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. This is a company that's involved in genocide, Sasse told ODNI General Counsel nominee Christopher Fonzone. And Fonzone, it turns out, worked in the Obama White House, and then during the Trump years, he went to a law firm and did work for the Chinese Communist Party's entity known as Huawei, this tech company that's spying on everybody in the United States and every place else. So he's a Huawei guy, and now he's set to be the chief lawyer, the general counsel for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence with his Chinese Communist Party. Huawei is linked directly to the Chinese Communist Party. Huawei has been heavily sanctioned by the U.S. government after accusations that its infrastructure equipment enables the Chinese Communist Party to surveil users, including in the United States, obviously. All right. So this is kind of an amazing story all by itself, I've got to say. I have two audio sound bites for you on this. One from Senator John F. Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy, the current John Kennedy, who is a Republican. And always funny, he had in front of him yesterday the CDC director, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, Rochelle. And then Congressman Devin Nunes also on this. I have two sound bites for you that I want to share. I've run out the clock on myself, so I'm going to have to move them just a little bit. But this is another one. I got to tell you, they've got these people in this administration with all kinds of entanglements that if you were only a Republican would be a big problem. The energy secretary has millions of dollars in stock, more than $5 million, with companies that stand to benefit very handsomely when money is distributed to those companies by the secretary herself through the Department of Energy, which is in charge of dispersing many, many billions of dollars. And now with the Huawei of all things, stand by for this.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Yeah, they are, they're really not on our side. The Kamala, I was mentioning Kamala in the Jill Biden story. Excuse me, Dr. Jill Biden, world-renowned surgeon that she is. The Daily Mail has the story, but the New York Times and the Washington Post don't. In her bad books, VP Kamala Harris keeps a list of enemy reporters who, quote, don't appreciate her lived experience, end quote. And doesn't like words like such as guarded being used to describe her. Now, you know, people who don't like certain words used to describe them are guarded. See, that's actually what that means. But the kind of an amazing story here. Vice President was profiled in The Atlantic for a story to be released on Monday. Harris was reported to keep a list, like the Stalinists, the McCarthyite that she is, of reporters who don't fully understand her. Washington Post journalists, using the term very broadly, Chelsea Janes is believed to be on her list. Uh-oh, people who don't appreciate her. You got to appreciate her more. You have to show more adoration. You have to kowtow a little more. Suck up, more sucking up. She covered Harris's event and said, sorority skee-wee, S-K-E-E-W-E-E. Salute was screeching. Uh-oh, she used negative words to describe her. So she's on her list. You know what kind of list it is. It's the list that you can't say here because of George Carlin and the seven words. So Kamala Harris keeps a list of journalists who she believes don't fully understand or appreciate her life experience, according to a new profile of the vice president. She's known for keeping reporters at arm's length. Why? They're all here to fluff you. On Monday, a journalist in The Atlantic claimed she went further and kept records of reporters who displease her. A typical kind of fascista, you know. Members of her Howard University sorority are in the room and screeched when she mentioned her name, mentioned her time there. Did not expect her to hear screeches here, said Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post. So she's on her list. She's going to have to suck up now, and they're all going to have to suck up. And you know what? They will. For the most part, they will. That's the deal. Mm-mm-mm. The Atlantic claims Kamala Harris and Richard Nixon have something in common, an enemies list. Harris herself tracks political players and reporters whom she thinks don't fully understand her or appreciate her life experience. Get your bleep to the border. So it is, she keeps an enemies, it's in the media, And they, you know, they still talk about that terrible, awful Nixon administration getting us out of Vietnam, creating a detente with the Soviet Union, strategic arms limitation treaty, open relations with China, calming a rioting nation because the left was rioting all over the place, two assassinations the year he was elected. Richard Nixon had a lot on his plate. And did he keep an enemies list? Well, they knew who didn't like him. It was pretty much everybody. But Kamala here keeps an enemies list. That's okay, though. Barack Obama assassinated American citizens without due process, so no problem. All right, let's go to, and they were okay with that. Let's go to soundbite number 10. I've been a little all over the place today. I apologize. Let's go to Senator John Kennedy. So many great topics to get. And then they keep flying in over the transom, you know. Senator John Kennedy, Republican, Louisiana, yesterday in a Senate hearing with CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who has given us many different sets of guidance. It's kind of like an a la carte menu. You can choose whichever guidance you like, whichever one, you know, you want to apply to yourself. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, stay home, don't stay home, go to work, don't go to work. Because they've given you every version. You can just choose which one you want. Not the latest necessarily, but here's Senator John Kennedy, and they're talking about the origins of the COVID-19 virus from Wuhan, China. That's what they're talking about here, all right, in the hearing yesterday. And let me share just a headline or two from the Los Angeles Times. This is a funny one. The evidence is clear. COVID lockdowns saved lives without harming economies. The LA Times is actually writing that. That's a headline with a straight face. Oh, really? Didn't harm the economies anywhere. And the lockdown, we now know that you're more likely to get the COVID indoors rather than outdoors. So locking everybody indoors where you're more likely to get it saved lives. And they're gaslighting us here, telling us that it didn't harm the economy without harming economies. That is a pretty amazing claim by Michael Hiltzik at the Los Angeles Times. The pandemic may be ebbing, at least in the U.S. and some other well-vaccinated countries, but debate over the government and public response to the crisis is destined to live on. Yeah, I would think so. And the role of the media in all of this, too. And he goes on to say, well, you know, the economies, really, come on, the economies weren't hurt. Never mind the thousands of businesses that are boarded up now that weren't boarded up before. All of the unemployed people, and now we're sending out so much money that people don't even want jobs anymore. They can stay home and make tons of money. So that's pretty amazing. Also, a study, New York Magazine, and the headline is, new research suggests number of kids hospitalized for COVID is overcounted. And it turns out, once again, that you know the way they're doing this. I read you the story in Denver. They counted two people that were shot to death in double murder as COVID deaths because their dead bodies tested positive for COVID. That's true. That's actually a true story. And they, the New Yorker here, or New York Magazine, rather, says that it turns out, new studies out, a couple of studies of hospitalizations, and the University of California, San Francisco, and another one, they found that they were miscounting the way that children, did they have the children in the hospital, and they didn't have any symptoms, and they didn't have the virus, but they counted them as having the COVID anyway. So now two different studies, Dr. Monica Gandy, infectious disease specialist, University of California, San Francisco, and another one, another study, hospital pediatrics. And there are two different studies that show the way they were counting the number of children hospitalized with the COVID is basically a farce. So you can't believe the numbers there. No problem. The hospitalization numbers for children were already extremely low relative to adults at the pandemic's peak this past winter. It was roughly 10 times lower than for 18 to 49-year-olds, and 77 times lower than those for people age 65 and up. But cutting the pediatric numbers by nearly half is a striking difference, making the actual rates vanishingly small. New York Magazine writes, pediatric hospital figures for COVID-19 also influence policy on school openings and guidelines, camp recommendations, and other decisions. Gandhi and Beck commentary noted, children have suffered tremendously due to policies that have kept schools and recreational facilities closed to them. And the burden has been greatest on children who are low income and English language learners. Race, race, race. It's always about race. So there it is, without getting too deeply into that. Here is Senator Kennedy with CDC Director Rochelle Walensky later talking about the origin. Did it come from the Chinese laboratory, the level four, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the WIV in Wuhan, China? Or did it come from the wet market where they're doing the Ozzy Osbourne thing, biting off the heads of bats while they're still alive? Senator Kennedy and Rochelle Walensky.
What are the possibilities?
Certainly the possibilities of that most coronaviruses that we know of are of origin from that have infected the population, SARS-CoV-1, MERS, generally come from an animal origin. And
are there any other possibilities?
Certainly a lab-based origin is one possibility.
Certainly she knew where he was going. Certainly a lab-based origin. Any particular lab? Maybe your backyard, your freezer with your old lasagna? Did it come from that? Congressman Devin Nunes, there is a new House report out today, House of Representatives report out today also. Here's another headline for you. Overwhelming evidence points to COVID originating at Wuhan Lab, House Intelligence Committee Republicans say. Here's Congressman Devin Nunes yesterday.
We put together all of the open source reporting that we could find, and it begins to tell a very clear picture of overwhelming evidence, multiple reporters across multiple countries that talk about the origins of this virus, and all signs point to the lab. That's all we really have to go on, because our intelligence community, once again, has failed us. We're not sure that we've even got all the information, and we're getting mixed signals from the Biden administration. Despite spending tens of billions of dollars a year on the most supposedly the most capable intelligence apparatus on the planet, we still can't get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and there are many powerful people in Washington who don't want to get to the bottom of it, and that's because they have a sneaking suspicion that it did come from the Wuhan Institute of Virology in the city of Wuhan in China. We know that the Chinese have lied about it and deceived people and deceived the United Nations and the World Health Organization, and that their report is a joke. Even the head of the World Health Organization said it, that their own report doesn't really mean anything, and it may very well be, the laboratory may very well be the source also. But I can tell you the news media is not pursuing that as a story, and the Democrats are trying to crush anybody that brings it up, because that's the world we live in. That's the thing. So overwhelming evidence points to COVID originating in Wuhan lab, according to a House Intelligence Committee report. This is one of the dumbest stories I've seen in a long time. DNC. And the headline is, Mexico's coronavirus death tolls are plummeting. The Biden wall could be a factor. And they put Biden wall in quotation marks. This is one of the most absurd articles I've ever seen in my life. Mary Beth Sheridan typing on behalf of the Biden White House. After suffering one of the world's deadliest coronavirus outbreaks, Mexico is witnessing a significant decrease in cases. And the U.S. vaccination campaign might be one reason, scientists say. You mean the Trump vaccine program and the three Trump vaccines and Operation Warp Speed and all of that good stuff? Yeah, the wall, the Biden wall. See, the Biden wall along the border. And then she types on behalf of her favorite political party, there may be another reason, another intriguing factor. And she says, Malaquez Lopez Cervantes, a professor of public health at the National Autonomous University in Mexico, guaranteed left-winger, dubbed it the Biden wall. With nearly half the U.S. population vaccinated with at least one shot, he said, fewer infections are being carried into Mexico. I'm sorry, what? Well, are there millions of people spilling across our southern border into Mexico, infected with the WHO and being given bus tickets and plane tickets to spread out across Mexico? And spread? I'm sorry, what? Mexico had one of the worst outbreaks, but there's a, and the Biden wall No sense of irony, these people. Biden came in and stopped the Trump wall, which would have stopped the record flow of people across our southern border being scattered across the country. And by the way, they made 21,000 children vanish. And the media has yet to ask any questions about that. No problem. Not a problem at all. Also, the Biden wall. The Biden wall. You're such sycophants. You're such suck-ups. You're such fluffers, honestly. You should be embarrassed to get out of bed in the morning. And you certainly shouldn't call yourselves journalists. You're putting out press releases, and you're an embarrassment to all of us. Here's another crazy story from United Press International, the UPI. A new study says U.S. saw a record rise in pedestrians killed by vehicles in 2020. The headline says, comma, despite COVID-19. Well, nobody's going to work, you know, and nobody's. The number of pedestrians killed in vehicle crashes in the United States last year climbed to a record high. This actually says climbed by a record amount, but that's basically illiterate, so I cleaned it up for the typist. Despite unprecedented restrictions, or perhaps because of unprecedented restrictions, and lockdown measures brought on by COVID-19, according to a safety report, 33-page assessment by the Governor's Highway Safety Association, which represents multiple highway safety agencies, says pedestrians' fatalities rose by 21% in 2020, by a fifth, more than a fifth, the greatest annual increase on record. Thanks, Biden. That's Biden's fault, obviously. All right, now let's get to some more audio here. Let's get back to soundbite number five. Let's go to, this is a good one, Jennifer Granholm. She's got millions of dollars invested in electric batteries that would be used in electric cars, and she's in charge of doling out tens of billions of dollars to electric car companies. Why would there be a conflict there? Republican Congressman Bill Johnson, in a hearing yesterday, asking her about Biden administration okaying the Russian oil and gas pipeline from Russia to Germany, making a NATO ally dependent on the reason for the existence of NATO, and that's Russia. Putin's a communist. By the way, the head of the pipeline company is a former East German intelligence chief, just by the way. Hello, chief? Problem. Republicans are very wealthy. This was yesterday. Uh-oh, we've got to pause here. I'm going to come back and play that audio for you in just a moment.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Now, Biden and the Democrats are approving this Russian oil and gas pipeline from Russia to Germany to undermine NATO and enrich Putin and the East German intelligence chief, who is the head of the pipeline company. Great news for Putin, attaboy. I went and I found a story from 2018. Merkel, Angela Merkel, moves to open up Germany to U.S. gas imports after Trump push. That's right. President Trump had convinced Merkel and Germany to not take Russian gas and oil, but to buy it from us. since we're allies and everything. Now let's go to soundbite number five. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, Congressman Bill Johnson, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm on this very matter.
Research shows that the administration's cancellation of the Keystone XL pipeline will actually increase our nation's carbon footprint. Did the administration cancel the pipeline because of politics? Because it was clearly not for climate benefits, because it's going to increase climate. It's going to increase carbon emissions.
No, it canceled. I mean, the president made this commitment because he believed that there are other ways to go, especially in promoting clean energy and cheap energy.
But you said that pipe is the cleanest way, the safest way to move fuel.
What I said regarding the Colonial Pipeline was because Colonial is the only way to be able to get gasoline from one place to another along that seaboard, because there aren't deep water ports to be able to allow tankers in.
Yeah, and let's skip number six in the interest of time, Jeff, where she did say pipes are the way to go. And she didn't deny that they killed it for all the wrong reasons. Senator Ted Cruz took some issue with this.
On day one in office, Joe Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline. He destroyed 11,000 jobs, high-paying jobs, including 8,000 union jobs. Then Biden sat by and allowed Russian hackers to hack the Colonial Pipeline. Now, his reward to Russia for Russian hackers shutting down a major infrastructure pipeline on the eastern seaboard is today he signed a waiver basically greenlighting the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, a pipeline from Russia to Germany. And basically what Joe Biden has decided is pipelines in America, bad. Jobs in America, bad. Pipelines in Russia, good. Jobs in Russia, good.
Honestly, Putin loves Biden. Let's go to soundbite number four. Bill Bennett last night summed it up very nicely on Special Report with Brett Baer.
There's something about this Biden crowd which really hates a lot of American things. If Americans like cars and oil, we hate it. If America loves Israel, we're going to put the brakes on that. Supreme Court, America likes the way it is, we're going to change it. How about traditional American history? Let's trash that too. What is this contempt for the way most Americans think and believe?
You know, that is a fair question. Now let's go to soundbite number six. Just for Jennifer Granholm, remember she said this just a couple of weeks ago.
This particular area of the country, there. This is why we have doubled down on ensuring that there's an ability to truck oil in, gas in. But it's the pipe is the best way to go.
The pipe is the best way to go, as Hunter Biden says. There it is. Jennifer Granholm, Energy Secretary, millions invested in electric car batteries. And Putin loves the Biden administration. What does Putin have on Biden, honestly? This is the greatest news Russia has had in ages. And I think we've got collusion going on here, a lot of collusion.